Knowing that I was good enough to be there mm-hmm. was a great thing for me because we didn't get no whole lots of money.
May I ask how much you were paid? Do you mind telling me?
Well, I got $200 a month.
$200 a month is probably what Alex Rodriguez tips the guy who parks
his
car at the
stadium. Yes. But then again, $200 then was a whole lot of money.
That's Mamie Peanut Johnson, so nicknamed because she, a girl, struck out a much larger male player on the Birmingham Barons and the old Negro Leagues almost 50 years ago. This weekend, Peanut Johnson and several other players will be honored guests at celebrations for the Negro Leagues in Bowie, Maryland. Now, Mamie Johnson was the first woman pitcher signed and one of three women who played for the Indianapolis Clowns in the early 1950s, just as the Negro Leagues were being put out of business by the integration of Major League Baseball. She loved baseball and excelled at it all through school, but if employment opportunities seemed limited for talented male African-American ballplayers in the 1940s, they were impossible for Mamie Johnson. Even when Major League owners began a women's professional baseball league during World War II, they didn't have Ms. Johnson in mind.
I couldn't play with white girls. They wouldn't let me play, I guess, because I was black or whatever. I was about 17 then. Mm-hmm. And I went over there to try out, and they looked at me like I was crazy, as if to say, what do you want, you know? Mm-hmm. So that didn't work.
You know, for young people growing up nowadays, we might need to say they were white.
Yeah, definitely. They were white. And segregation, you know, I didn't know anything about it because when I was small, when I left South Carolina, where I come from, it was all black. Mm-hmm. I went to New Jersey, and it was all white for me because I was in an all-white school, and I never knew the difference because I was treated like I was just another child. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to D.C. after my mother bought a home here, it was all black. And it never dawned on me what segregation was mm-hmm. because I was never exposed to it. I was never had any dealings with it. So, and when that did happen, it kind of stunned me.
Mm-hmm. Bring us back, if you could, to, I guess the year was 1953, and Bish Tyson saw you playing baseball. What happened?
Yes. Well, Mr. Tyson, I used to see him every day mm-hmm. that I would play or would be at practice, not knowing that he was an old Negro League player, asked me if I wanted to play professional baseball. And I got my tryout, and I made it mm-hmm. the first time I went out. And the next day I was on the bus, and I was gone.
That quickly?
Yes.
Signed as a member of the Indianapolis Clowns?
Yes, yes.
Were your teammates on the Indianapolis Clowns, guys, altogether happy that you were their teammate?
Most of them were. And then again, you know, they're just a bunch of guys that some are pleased that women were able to do what they could do. Then you had your dummy, I call them, that come from left field, you know, that macho bigotry thing, you know, hey, women are supposed to be in the kitchen and somewhere having somebody's baby or whatever, but that wasn't my shot. After I proved what I was there for and did it well, mm-hmm. then I didn't have no problems.
Is it true that Satchel Paige gave you pitching advice?
Yes. Yes, and he was such a nice gentleman. You know, by me being so little, he had just come back from the majors at that particular time, and he came back to the Negro Leagues. And by me being so small, and I could throw the curveball, mm-hmm. but he taught me how to perfect it in an easier way. and he was such a nice gentleman. Yeah. In fact, all the fellas were gentlemen. I mean, you know, I had 26 brothers. Yeah, and they were nice, mm-hmm. very nice.
Same clubhouse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Either I'd go shower first or change first or whatever, and then they would change or whatever, and then this is the way we did it.
Yeah.
And wherever they went, when we went into a town, we went out, I went too. Mm. And we had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 1953, Jackie Robinson had integrated the game.
Yes.
Don Newcomb and Jim Gilliam.
Yeah, yeah.
And, for that matter, Satchel Paige.
Yes.
Was in the... I mean, a lot of great mm-hmm. African-American stars had entered the game. The Negro Leagues were trying to figure out how and if they were going to survive, weren't they?
When I was there, like you said, quite a few of the fellas had gone to the majors, like Hank, because Hank played with us.
Hank Aaron was on
the
Indianapolis Bonds, yeah.
And
Mr. Aaron is what I
call him. Yes, yes, one of the greatest hitters there were. In that era, mm-hmm. we were still playing baseball. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we were still recognized as the Negro Leagues. Now, after that, then it began to be a barnstorming thing. They began to play each other and so forth and so on, you know, like the Clowns would play Birmingham for a week from city to city. But we were still playing heads up ball at that particular time, mm-hmm. and we were still recognized as the Negro Leagues.
I have an obvious request to make
sure.
again before we leave.
Sure.
If there is a baseball around here, can you show us the curve you used to throw?
Throw?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? I thought you wanted me to show you how I did it.
Well, that too. But all right, we'll
Honey,
do that here.
Let me yeah. tell you, this yeah. here is a whole heap of money. I'm not breaking none of my nails now.
Oh, okay.
And I have an affair to go to tomorrow night, and I must look pretty.
Yeah,
so I'm not breaking up.
You make
nails.
An excellent point. Okay.
No, I can't break up my nails, baby.
I understand. Thank you. But when she could pitch, Mamie Johnson won 33 games over 3 years in the Negro Leagues. She went 11-3, 10-1, 12-4.